Well, good evening. In the wonderful name of our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus, we do thank the Lord for the wonderful privilege of being able to come up to the church here and at Padbury and to have fellowship one with another. We thank the Lord for the invitation, brother. And we thank the Lord for his goodness toward us, and what a beautiful hymn we were able to sing there this evening. You know, great is thy faithfulness. And our God is a faithful God. He's always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And no matter what we go through in life, the Lord is always there. And he's working out all things for good to those who love him and to those who are called according to his purposes. We've been busy over the year. And last weekend, as our brother said, we were down in Rowlands at our convention. And we were able to camp there at the campsite. It's the first time we've been there, I think, for must be over 20 years, I think. The last time I remember Pastor Harley Haywood was preaching down at the convention down at Rowlands, and I think it was about before we came to the Lord anyway. So it was good to go back to that venue and to have fellowship there. And Lord willing, in the new year, we will go back down to Rowlands to have another convention there at Easter time. And we pray that the Lord would undertake. We had a good turnout for that weekend. I think over somewhere close to 150 to 200 people came for the weekend's ministry. And it was good to be able to preach the word to the people down there. We had a few responses, and we continue to pray that the Lord would continue to do his work amongst our people. In July, if you can keep us in prayer for June, we go to Northampton for a weekend's ministry. Now, this is the first time there's going to be a ministry there in Northampton. What's happened there is three people have got together and they have a midweek meeting together, and then they get together on the Sunday morning to have fellowship one with another. And there's a small little group of people, but you know, where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name, there am I in the midst, he says. So we're going there for a weekend's ministry, so pray for that. The lady's name is Patricia Kelly, and the other couple is Stephen Kelly and his wife, Natalie, is it Natalie? Yeah, Natalie. Now, they're not related to me, and but they're related to another mob of Kellys from up that way. So pray for that. And then in June, and July, we go to Broome for a week's ministry up in Broome. And it's the first time we've been to Broome for ministry. So do pray for that ministry. We have the ladies will have a meeting midweek, and then the men's will get together, I think, on a Thursday. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll have weekend ministry. Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, and Saturday evening, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. So do keep that in prayer as well. Now, a lot of the Aboriginal people in Broome, they're all Catholics, and it's mainly the people from up Derby, Kimberley's, Fitzroy, sorry, and Kununurra, and all those further north of them. They're all sort of brought up under the ministry of Bruce Smoker and other missionaries who've been through that way. So we're praying that the Lord would do a work throughout Broome. Now, there was a convention years ago in One Arm Point, and I don't think they do that anymore. But so do pray for that ministry. It's exciting times we're living in, and God is blessing, even though we see a lot of things going on in the world, and we see a lot of struggles and trials that we go through, but the Lord is still sitting on the throne. And as we sang that beautiful old hymn, great is thy faithfulness. And our God is a faithful God, and he looks after us, he keeps us, he provides for us each and every day and every step that we take. My wife and I have been fairly busy with doing a lot of ministry and mainly a lot of funerals. Last year I took 48 funerals for the year, and this year so far for this period of time from January to now, I think I've taken about 15 up till now, and I've got another funeral to take next Friday out at Quirrating. I've been as far as Mount Magnet for funerals and taking services up there. So it's been a very busy and a lot of travelling, and it's very taxing on the body, but through it all, the Lord, he gives us strength. But the saddest part is a lot of people do not know Christ as their Lord and Saviour. And that's the saddest part. And where our prayer is that they may come to know Christ as their Lord and Saviour. And the only opportunities that we seem to be getting now is to preach the gospel to our people at the gravesites, because they won't come to church. And we've got to redeem the time and tell them about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Now, the saddest part amongst our people, beloved, is that they are going back into old cultural ways, and they think that our culture is going to help us. Now, there's nothing wrong with our culture in regards to the caring and sharing and all those sort of things, but once they delve into the spiritual side of things, it's way offline. And we try to encourage them that it's Christ who can help them, not our culture. No religion in the world can ever help us, but only Christ can help us. He is the answer to all that our people go through. But we do thank the Lord tonight, and thank the Lord for the church here and for the ministry that you've had for the last 10 years. And God is blessing, even though you may be small in number, but the Lord is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he just wants us to remain faithful and to trust him through it all. He's given each one of us a job to do, and we are to be faithful in doing that role that he has given to us. Each born-again believer has been given a gift to be used for the Lord's praise and for his glory. You've been saved to serve, and we are to serve the Lord. What a better job. There's no better job in the world to be serving our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we may have all our politicians and all these leaders of our country, but we serve someone who's far greater than them. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But tonight, our reading is from Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3, and I'll read the whole chapter. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 1. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua the son of Josadak, and his brethren the priest, and Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. They kept also the feast of tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom as the duty of every day required. And afterward offered the continual burnt offering both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord, that were consecrated, and every one that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. They gave money also unto the masons, and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil, and unto them of Zidon, and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Josadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward, to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord, after the ordinance of David king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chiefs of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. So ask the Lord to bless his word to our heart here this evening. Our dear loving and most precious God, we do come before you, Father, this evening, in the blessed and wonderful name of our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank you, O Lord, for thy word that we do have so freely before us. And we do ask and pray, O Lord, that thou would open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And we do pray, O Lord, for thy word that it may have free course tonight and that it may find a lodging place in each heart that's gathered here this evening. We thank you for the ministry of the blessed Holy Spirit, dear Lord, and we pray that the Spirit of God, dear Lord, may lead us and guide us into all truth. We do continue to claim the blood of our Lord Jesus upon us, dear Father, praying that you'd place an edge about us and hold back anything that's not of thee. And loving Lord, everything that we do and say tonight, we pray that it may be glorifying unto your holy and your wonderful name. Because we do acknowledge, dear Father, that without the Lord Jesus Christ, we're unable to do anything. And we do pray this now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Because of Israel's refusal to abandon their idols and their refusal to worship the one and only true God, now the Lord dealt with them and they were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Now this captivity, it was to last for 70 years. And as you read over in Jeremiah chapter 25 and verses 11 through to 12, this 70-year period, it began in 605 BC when the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar invaded Israel. Later in 586 BC, after Israel rebelled against him, Nebuchadnezzar completely destroyed Jerusalem and the temple and all of the temple furniture. He also carried off all the treasures of the temple at that time. For the next 70 years, Israel lived in captivity, and without a temple and without the feast, the sacrifices and all the rituals that were prescribed by the law. Cyrus, the Persian king, he overthrew Babylon in 539 BC, and in 538 BC, he gave permission for the Jews to return to their homeland. Now, about 50,000 Jews left Babylon, and they returned back to Palestine. 3 years later, in 535 BC, they laid the foundation for a new temple, thus ending the 70 years of their captivity. Our text here before us, you know, talks about the laying of the foundation of this new temple. Now, for many years, the Jews present that day, it was a time of great joy. Now, the Bible says there in verse 12 that they shouted aloud for joy. But others who were, you know, among them that day, no, they didn't shout aloud for joy. Instead, the Bible says they wept with a loud voice, also in verse 12. Now, why is it that one group is so excited and is praising the Lord, while the other group is sad and weeping? Now, as we look at the Word of God tonight, beloved, we'll see the reason why this is happening. Now, we also see here, as we look at these verses tonight, now we can look at some wonderful truth for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the present day that we're living in. Tonight, beloved, as the Lord gives liberty, now we're going to look at this thought. The young men shouted while the old men wept. God, there's something here for us tonight. If we are, you know, look at the Word of God, we see that the Word of God always speaks to the times. Now, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, beloved, we're going to look at that thought tonight. As I said earlier, the young men shouted while the old men, they wept. In verse 12, we read about the ghosts of the past, and we see there what they remembered in verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, and that word ancient men, it were old men, that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Now, a group of older men here, you know, they remembered the first temple that was built before it was destroyed by the Babylonians. They remembered, you know, how grand this building was and how glorious it was. They also remembered the old days when the temple of the Lord was one of the wonders of the ancient world. They remembered a temple that, you know, if it was built today, you know, it would cost multiple of billions of dollars to build. They remembered also a temple that housed the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. They remembered that within the Ark were tablets containing the law of God that was handed down by Moses. They remembered also the Shekinah glory, the glory cloud that filled the first temple in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verses 8 through to 13. They remembered a day when Solomon's temple was literally the house of God. So that's what they remembered, you know, as they looked back and they compared the old temple that they saw to this new temple that was going to be built and the foundations that were laid. What they realized also, here we see that they understood that this new temple would never be the same, as we read over in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 3. They could see that it would be a lot smaller than the original temple that was built. They knew that they did not have the resources to rebuild it like the old one, you know, that they had seen all those years ago. They also realized that all the things that they made that made the first temple precious, you know, the ark and all its contents, the mercy seat, the glory cloud, etc., they were forever gone. This realization, they broke their hearts and they wept bitterly there at that day. You know, as we think about that today, beloved, there are many, you know, with us today who remember the glory of the days of the church. And you know, I was only thinking about that weekend we were down there at Rowlands, and you know, we talked about some of the older things that we remembered as children growing up. And you know, I remember as a child growing up in Narrage, and we used to go to a lot of these conventions over, you know, every Easter and every throughout the year. Now, I remember going to Katanning a lot of times for conventions down there, and the presence of God could be felt in the buildings, and the presence of God, you know, could be seen, you know, in the church that was you know, active at that time. And sadly, the church that I grew up in, you know, there's no Aboriginal church there no more. And I was only looking at some photos the other night, and you know, that little church was packed with, you know, a lot of Aboriginal people. You know, the pastor was ministering at that time. My dad and my mum were there, and a lot of my uncles and aunties were in that church. You know, and sadly today, as I go back to Narrogin, you know, there's nothing there, and it saddens my heart that, you know, nothing is happening in that little town where once, you know, it was flourishing with the work of God. And we used to sing that little chorus, you know, let your light shine over Narrogin. You know, let it shine, and you know, when the Lord comes down from glory, he'll say to you, well done, and to let our light shine brightly, you know, in that town. But sadly, it seems like that light has gone out of that town. And sadly, beloved, you know, there's a lot of churches who used to be, you know, on fire for God in the days gone by. But a lot of those churches have turned aside from, you know, serving the true and living God, and they've bowed down and worshipped other gods. And sadly, a lot of the lights in a lot of the churches today have gone out. And this is, you know, sort of like looking at what's happening here. They can remember the, you know, the foundations and the building of that old temple that was first built. And now they come and they can compare it to what's happening, and you know, brought sadness to their hearts. So also, secondly, here we see, beloved, the gifts of the present. And in verse 11, and they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now, what they remembered in that number were even more people who did not remember the first temple. There was a, you know, a group of people who would have grown up in Babylon, you know, who didn't see the first temple. And they had no idea what it looked like or the glory that had been in that temple. All they remember was a life of captivity and bondage in a foreign land. No doubt many of these people had been born during the time of Israel's captivity, and all they could remember was their slavery. But they also remembered how God in his power had delivered them, you know, from that bondage. They could not remember the first temple, but were thankful for what they had. They were thankful for what they had and what the Lord had given unto them. And what they realized also is that these young people could not remember the old days, but they could see that a new day of opportunity had dawned for them, and they embraced it wholeheartedly. These young people had no frame or reference concerning the old days, but they were excited about what God was doing in their day. Beloved, it's easy to err on the either side of this thing. Some people are so caught up in the past and they cannot get excited about what God is doing in the present. You know, beloved, even though things may not look as if things are working out for the church, but beloved, God is still on the throne and he is working out all things for good to those who love him and to those who are called according to his purposes. And God is still building his church. The Lord is building his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, the younger ones here this evening, you may not have seen many of the right revivals that have happened in the past, and now the Lord moved in a great and wonderful way. But beloved, don't be disheartened because you haven't seen those things. God is still at work today. He's still at work today and he is still sitting on the throne. The past, is behind us and we are living in the present. And what the Lord wants for us today as believers in Christ is to keep on trusting him and obeying him and doing what he wants us to do. You know, the God in whom we serve and the God in whom the children of Israel served way back there in the Old Testament is still the same God today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi also talks about the Lord who is the unchangeable God. He is the immutable God, the one who changes not. And that's the God, beloved, in whom we serve. So what the Lord wants us to do, beloved, every opportunity that he does give us and everything that happens, let us make the most of those opportunities and do what he wants us to do. You know, redeem the time because the days are evil. You see, beloved, they laid the foundation for the temple. But the saddest part about this is that the work was stopped. You know, for 15 years, they went about their lives, they built their own houses and did what they wanted to do. For 15 years, the house of the Lord stayed unfinished. In Haggai chapter 1 and verses 1 to 5 and chapter 1 verses 12 to 15, all those who were looking back fondly, they failed to move forward in the things of God. All those who had been excited about what God was doing in their day, also they failed to carry it out to its completion. You see, beloved, what's happened here in the building of this the foundations, and what's happening sometimes in a lot of the churches today. You know, we can sit back, looking back to the past, longing for the old days, dreaming of the way things were, and get absolutely nothing done for the glory of God. We can become so caught up in the latest movies and the books and trends of anything, that's to do with the Lord, but either those things, they can't help us. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ, as we put our faith and our trust in him, and like Isaiah of old, and saying, Lord, here am I, use me or send me for your praise and for your glory. And like the book of Nehemiah, where they had a mind to work and they stuck at the task, didn't throw in the towel and going down to Ono to discuss business with those who were against Nehemiah and all the workers. And they stayed together as a family of the children of Israel, and they rebuilt those walls of that city. So that's what the Lord wants for us, beloved, also. They stopped working for 15 years. And sadly, some in the churches, they're still living in the past and glorying in the revivals of the past. But beloved, the Lord, he's brought us through all those time, and he has a new plan for each one of us as believers in Christ. He wants us to be available for him, to be used for his praise and for his glory. Also, if you turn with me over to Haggai chapter 2 and verses 1 through to 9. In the book of Haggai chapter 2 Haggai chapter 2 and verse 1 to 9. In the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your own eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I have covenanted with you, when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill the house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. We see, beloved, in Haggai chapter 2 and verses 1 through to 9, the glory of the promise. Now, for 15 years, the work on the temple had not been completed. And as you look back at Ezra, we find that, you know, when the foundations were laid, they were shouting joyfully, and the older men were weeping. But we find 15 years later, God raised up the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. He raised them up to preach to the people. God used these men to stir up the people of Israel to get busy and to get the work done. Now, this was a difficult time for both the old people and for the young people. The old people, remember, were sad because things were not like they used to be. The young people were being discouraged by the attitude of the old people. And in the midst of the turmoil, God used the message of Haggai to bring hope and encouragement to all the people of Israel. And his message still gives hope to us today as well. Now, we live in a day when many are discouraged and wonder about the relevance of the church in this modern world. Others wonder what the future holds for the house of God. And as we look at the church today, beloved, and there are many who are turning away from the things of God. And as we look at Haggai, beloved, there are words of comfort for each one of us. In verse 4, we see the presence of his promise. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. God is simply saying to them, the temple may not be great as the first one, but I'm still here with you. Beloved, we have the same promise here this evening. Things may not be like they used to be, but the same God who moved then is still with his people today. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age, in Matthew 28 and verse 20. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 tells us, he tells us that I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with us every step of the way. And beloved, we have that wonderful promise of his presence going with us. Every step that we take, the Lord is there for us. Now, we were travelling down to Busselton early this year for going to Dunsborough to preach. And as we were journeying along, it was about 6 o'clock in the afternoon, just getting a bit dark. And as we got closer to Busselton, I'm driving along, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this kangaroo comes right here. And it stops right on the line. And I said to my wife, there's a kangaroo there. And I thought it would, normally kangaroos, they just keep coming and they hit you. But the kangaroo stopped right on the line, and we kept driving. And when we went past, it took off into the bush. But you know, that's the hand of God upon each one of us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He protects us everywhere we go. And beloved, he still shows up. You know, even here tonight as we gather in this building. And you see the wonderful promise of God for this little fellowship here. You know, for 10 years you've had this building. It was the Lord's presence amongst you. It was the faithful preaching of the word of God from this pulpit, you know, from the previous leader of the minister in this church to the present day minister here. They stand upon the word of God. And like Zerubbabel and Haggai and the men of old. No, they stood up on the word of God, which God had given to them. And they preached the word of God to the people to encourage them. Now, a lot of churches today are going away from the preaching of the word of God. And they're preaching everything else but God's word. And it's there to tickle the people's ears. They don't want to offend anyone anymore. But beloved, we are to preach the word in season and out of season. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is by the word of God, beloved. Not by any other methods and machinery that may come into the churches, you know, throughout this day that we're living in. There was a promise of his presence to be amongst the people at that time. There's also the promise of peace. In verse 5 it says, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Then he says, fear you not. God encourages them to fear not. He is still with them. And his peace will keep them as they serve him. Thank God, beloved, in the midst of all the trials and afflictions that we go through, and all the labours that we go through as believers in Christ in this day and age that we're living in, we have his presence and his peace to sustain us. He has not given us a spirit of fear, as we sang that little hymn before. No, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And his presence and peace is there with us to sustain us and to help us through all the difficulties that we go through. There is that promise of peace to be with them. And that promise of peace is for us as well. He says in John 14:27, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. No, he says, let not your heart be troubled. He gives us his peace. And what a wonderful thing, beloved, to have the peace of God upon us. And he promises in Philippians 4 and verse 7. He tells us that he gives us the peace which passes all understanding to keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And that word keep in that verse simply means like a guard watching over our hearts and our mind. You know, there are a lot of troublesome times that we're living in. You know, we're living in dark days. The enemy's out to come against us, to steal, kill, and destroy. But beloved, we have one who's far greater than the enemy. The one who has defeated the enemy that we face. And we can experience that wonderful peace of God in each one of our hearts. Also the promise of his power in verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Now everything may be going out of kilter, but God reminds them that he is still in control, regardless of how things may look. Praise God, that is still true today. You know, it looks like evil in this world is out of control. And it looks like the enemy, beloved, you know, is reigning supreme down here. But beloved, we serve a God who is still on the throne. We serve one who is in control of all things. He still has all the power. And in his time, beloved, he will demonstrate his power and his sovereignty over sin and over Satan and over the world that we live in. We also have the promise of his provisions. In verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Some of the people were concerned about the expense of the project. Others were concerned that the new temple lacked the gold and and all the glitz of the first temple. But God reminds them that he has all that they need. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And beloved, he still does look after us. He will meet their needs, and he met their needs in the Old Testament. And God is still a God who meets your need each and every day. As we read in Philippians 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But what does he want us to do? He wants us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, then all things shall be added unto us. Beloved, don't worry about all those mega churches that are out there. You know, with all of their contemporary music and everything that they go, the way that they worship. God hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't forsaken us as a people. He knows what we need in these days. And he will protect each one of us as we remain faithful to him. You know, faithful is he who has called us, who also will do it. God is looking for men and women who are obedient to him, walking in obedience to the Lord and doing you know, his work, his way, not our way, but doing it his way. And when we do it his way, beloved, he will provide for us time and time again. As you read through the book of Nehemiah, you'll find that Nehemiah goes back to Jerusalem and the king had supplied all of his needs to go back. He was kept safe, he was sent by the king, and he was supplied. The Lord met every need, all the materials that he needed to rebuild the walls at Jerusalem. And same to him in Ezra's time, God was able to provide for them as well. There was the promise of his provision for the people. There was also the promise of his potential. In verse 7, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. And in verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. These verses tell of a day when the desire of all nations would come. They will tell of a day when the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former house. He was referring to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Years later, this temple here was remodeled by Herod. And into that newly remodeled temple walked the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord came to that temple and he fulfilled the words of Haggai. You see, he came to Solomon's temple in the glory cloud. But beloved, he walked into this temple in the flesh. Now, what does that mean for you and I? Well, we can look back with envy on those days when God moved in the great revivals of yesterday. We can long for the old days, but the fact remains that we have a privilege that they did not enjoy. You see, Jesus did not come back then to get his church, but he just might come in our day. So as bad as things may look, you know, to you and I from time to time as we continue to serve the Lord, let us remember, beloved, that our Saviour, you know, he could come at any time for his church. And that's something to get excited about. Because the Lord said he's coming back for us one day. He said in John 14 and verses 1 to 3, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Beloved, one day we go to see our dear Saviour face to face. And what a day of rejoicing that will be. And you know, beloved, it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. All the trials and all the struggles that we go through. And as we get older, you know, as Brother Mal and myself and with the illnesses that we go through, some of the older folk here, all the aches and pains that we feel, we're going to be with our Saviour one day when there's going to be no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow. A lot of my family have passed on, and the funerals that I've taken, no more death. Now that's wonderful. And the Lord is going to take us home to be with him one day. And that's what we can look up, beloved, because our redemption is drawing nigh. We can look forward to the coming of our Saviour. We thank God for what he's done in the past. But beloved, as we look back to what God has done, let us remember that the God who worked in the past is not back there in the past. He's here today with us. He's also in the future. He knows what's going to happen in the future. And that's who we are to look to. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So don't be discouraged about what's happening around us. Just keep looking into the Word of God and looking unto him. You know, the little chorus we sing, he knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. Just follow Jesus. And he will bless you time and time again. It's not an easy road we're traveling. But I'd rather be on this road than in the road that people are traveling to, a Christless eternity. And the road that we're on, beloved, as believers in Christ, it leads to that beautiful home where our Saviour is. Let us pray. Our dear loving and most precious God, we do thank you, Father, for our wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for thy holy word that we do have before us. And we do pray that, Lord, you'd help us to be men and women of God, men and women of the word, dear Lord, and men and women of prayer. Lord, that we may be the people that you want us to be. May your love and light continue to shine and reflect through each one of our lives, dear Father, that we may be the witnesses that you'd have us be to the lost and dying world around us. And through our lives, dear Lord, others may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Thank you once again for tonight, dear Lord. Thank you for the church here. We do pray that you may bless the church, help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And dear loving Lord, may you bless the minister of this church and add unto this church, dear loving Lord, those who shall be saved through the preaching of thy holy word. And we do ask and pray all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.